Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. If you are struggling with a question and an answer has been elusive, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Hey, Coach Randy. As always, number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Questions coming in from so many different sources. Through our website, equip.org, through Twitter, through Facebook, a lot of ways in which, even the mail, questions are coming in through the mail. So there are a lot of ways in which we have an opportunity to answer people's questions, and that is a core value of the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and our outreaches around the world. And as many of you know, this is now something I have been communicating consistently for almost a month. This is the very last day of the month. I've been communicating the need for people to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Reason being is that this month is the end of our fiscal year. And many people have been gracious and have started standing with us, some who have never stood with us before. There are many who have joined CRI's support team that has really ratcheted up over the last couple of days. I call support team members the Green Berets, or the Special Forces of the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Without this special group of support team members hearing our broadcasts or our podcasts or receiving the Christian Research Journal, simply would not happen. And I was privileged today to sign a whole bunch of books, a huge stack of books. And I doubt that I can go through all the names, although I will go through a few of the names right now of people that join CRI's support team. When they do, I personalize a copy of one of my books to a family member or a friend. And oftentimes it's the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Sometimes it's Has God Spoken? At other times it's the Apocalypse Code. Sometimes it's the Creation Answer Book or any one of my resources available. I personalize those, again, to you, a family member or a friend. Terry, a Canadian from British Columbia, $50 a month. Aaron from Georgia, $150 a month. Joy from Minnesota, $60 a month. Robert, North Carolina, $50 a month. I just did two before I walked into the studio, personalizing, that is. One was Matthew, the other was Mark. I was thinking maybe Luke and John would be next. But Matthew from Arizona, $300 a month. Mark from Tennessee, $100 a month. Some people give $25 a month. William in Florida, Janice in Virginia. But all standing together, shoulder to shoulder, making a difference not only for time, but also for eternity. There are four basic categories that we're talking about this month in terms of support team members. First and foremost, as I was just mentioning, the CRI support team. This is a special team of people we simply could not exist without. And then there are donors. And oftentimes I ask people who are donors to consider going from being an occasional donor to being a support team member. And then there are those who make a gift occasionally. In other words, one gift a year. And I just think about the impact that would have in terms of reaching people around the world if one-time givers would give twice a year or three times a year. It would equate to hundreds of thousands of dollars in revenue needed for vital ministry efforts. And then there are those who have listened for years, maybe some 20 years or longer, who have never supported the ministry. Oftentimes it is because they think there's plenty of support or there's a foundation that is supporting the ministry, and therefore the ministry simply doesn't need support. Nothing could be farther from the truth. This ministry is a collective effort of not only staff and volunteers within the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, but beyond that, those who are standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. And as I am fond of saying, the difference you are making is not just a temporary difference, it is an eternal difference, a difference that not only counts for time, but a difference that makes a difference for all eternity as well. Let's take a few calls, and we'll continue talking about the need for people to stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. First up is Venice, listening in Bakersfield, California on KERI. Hi, Venice.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
That's a blessing. I just want to say I thank you so much for your broadcast and continue prayers to you.
Thank you so much, Venice.
Or for you. Okay, my question is this. I have an associate who believes that the Church of Christ is the only church that will be saved, and that members of any other church, such as Baptist Church, Lutheran Church, things like that, are doomed. And I just wanted to know your insight on that. And if I could, I'll just go ahead and disconnect, and I'll listen to your answer.
Yeah, that'd be great. Nice talking to you, Venice. God bless you. And yeah, this is a part of the Church of Christ movement, and some of the more extreme factions within this movement actually go further and argue that anyone who views baptism differently from them is not a Christian, is therefore lost, even if that person has been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The idea is you have to be baptized by their movement using their formula. And if you are not, you're not part of the body of Christ. And some of the more extreme factions include the Boston Church of Christ. It's probably the best known of these authoritarian groups. And this particular group goes so far as to say that other segments of the Church of Christ movement are non-Christian and will face eternal damnation. So even within the Church of Christ movement itself, this particular faction thinks it's the only faction that's on the right path to salvation. But I should mention, and I think I'm sort of alluding to that, this movement is not monolithic. It's multifaceted. And because of that, there are also factions within the Church of Christ movement that are thoroughly biblical. They have traditions like the tradition of not using musical instruments. I remember preaching for Max Lucado. And this is a wonderful church, wonderful brothers and sisters in the Lord. But one of the distinctives in Max Lucado's church was, they didn't have instruments. Now, for Max, that was not an acid test for orthodoxy. It was simply a tradition that they adhered to in his particular tradition. Obviously, he is not only a great preacher and writer, but I can tell you from personal experience, he's the absolute real deal as well. So, again, the Church of Christ movement runs the gamut from cultism to Orthodox Christianity. I don't mean Orthodox with the big O, but Orthodoxy in the sense of upholding all the essentials of the historic Christian faith, as we often say, in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. Which brings up an issue that I kind of want to bring to the fore today anyway. Mark Zuckerberg, if you don't know who he is, you probably have not been on the planet. You've been on some other planet. He is, of course, the force behind Facebook. He's the CEO, and he suggests that Facebook is able to offer a sense of community, filling the gap left by failing and falling church membership. Now, he has a point. He has a point in the sense that there is a community that is forming on Facebook. In fact, not just a community, but many communities. And in some way, he's seeing this as a replacement to the church. And he's seeing this at a strategic time. He's a forward thinker. He sees the church falling in membership, and he's thinking this is a perfect opportunity to replace the church with Facebook. Now, what's interesting about that is that where he's right is that there's a great evangelical recession. And it's not just an evangelical recession. There's a book by, I think it was John Dickerson, right? A journalist and a pastor who wrote this book, a fantastic book. We offered it. In fact, you can find it on the web at equip.org. But he's talking about how millennials are walking away from the church in droves. In fact, he was talking about people between 19 and I think it was 29. I can't remember the exact ages, but he was talking about the vast majority. He actually had a figure for him. I think it was, I'm pulling this out of my head, 3.7 million in that category. And 2.6 million would walk away from the faith, and the vast majority would never return. So there's a real decline within evangelicalism, but that decline is true within many other bodies as well. So as the church is experiencing falling church membership, Zuckerberg says with 100 million users, he can form meaningful communities. And that will not only serve to turn around the decline in community membership and church membership, but it will be the force that strengthens social fabric. This is chilling when you think about it. Because on the one hand, you can't blame him for saying what he's saying. On the other hand, it just underscores someone who is a secularist saying the church is not doing the church what the church is designed to do. It's not being salt and light in a lost and searching world. And so something has to fill the vacuum. Why not Facebook? Facebook has hit 2 billion users. And that's one in every 4 people are now using Facebook every month as a social networking site. And Zuckerberg boasted that the world is, as a result of that, a whole lot brighter. He said that as he was comparing Facebook to the church, he said people who go to church are more likely to volunteer. They're more likely to give to charity, not just because they're religious, but because they're part of a community. In other words, you can dispense with the religious part of it. The real issue is the communal part of it. And I think whenever you hear someone saying something like that, you have to ask yourself the question, what is the church? And while I do not have time to go through that in detail, in my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, I give you an acronym. It's an acronym GOD. And basically what I'm communicating is G-O-D, the G standing for the first sign of a healthy, well-balanced church, is a commitment to worship God through prayer, praise, and proclamation. The second, the O in GOD, reminds us of oneness, the oneness we share as the body of Christ tangibly manifested through communion, through creed, and through contribution, and then through discipleship, where those who are within the church are being equipped to always be ready to give an answer, reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect. The point simply being this, that we want to know what we're aiming at when we're looking for a healthy, well-balanced church, and then we got to become part of the solution as opposed to part of the problem. The solution is not Facebook. Trust me. Because in a Facebook communion, you're not going to receive communion. You need to have the empowering force, the empowering energy of the Holy Spirit. I don't mean to call the Holy Spirit a force. Obviously, the Holy Spirit is a personal being. But you need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the energies that come from the graces God provides through means within the context of the ground and pillar of truth. I've also done some YouTube videos on how to find a healthy, well-balanced church. It's one of the new enterprises we're involved in, populating on the web with YouTube videos on strategic questions and issues that face us in today's post-truth culture. So be looking for all of that and more, and please stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. When we come back from the break, more answers to your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll try to take some Facebook questions as well.
In case you haven't noticed, the enemies of truth and Christian morality are now legion, and their numbers are growing daily. As Rod Dreher writes poignantly in The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation, now the floodwaters are upon us, and we are not ready. For those who understand the stakes, retreat is not an option, and surrender is out of the question. That's why, as we redouble our efforts at CRI to equip fellow believers to stand for life and truth, it's vital that we finish this month, the end of our fiscal year, in a position of strength to help finish strong and prepare for the battles that lie ahead to protect the truth of the gospel and even our religious liberties. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a generous gift, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. To say thanks for your support, we'll send you The Benedict Option. Hank Hanegraaff will return in just a few moments. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Pro-choice advocates often contend that while human embryos are biological members of the human species, embryos have not yet reached the developmental stage necessary to identify them as persons. But is a human embryo a potential person or a person with great potential? Other topics include the divide between Sunni and Shia Muslims, challenging the central claim of the Nation of Islam, when freedom of expression and emotions collide on campus, does God have a spirit body, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. We are witnessing the advent of a post-truth culture wherein social headwinds against common sense and basic decency and civility are ferocious. The fact is, we as Western Christians are in the fight of our lives, and for now, we are losing on multiple fronts. That is why we want to put into the hands of thinking Christians everywhere two very timely books, Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher. These resources will equip you to do your part in turning the tide. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. militant secularists are willing to do more for their misguided and morally bankrupt notions than Christians are for a faith that once transformed the world, you don't need to be clairvoyant to imagine the potential outcome. Stem the tide and stand with the Christian Research Institute during the month of June. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go, let's just go back to our phone callers, talk to Leah in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Hank. I just want to say thank you so much for your program, and your wisdom is really a blessing from the Lord.
Oh, bless you. Thank you for saying that.
Mm-hmm. My question is that when I read in the Word, it talks about Jesus being the descendant of Joseph, and I'm sort of confused about that because we know, you know, the Holy Spirit, he's conceived by the Holy Spirit, but I don't understand how when the Word talks about that, I don't understand that connection.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, and I think you have to go back to how genealogies are used in general. If you look, for example, at the precedent set in Genesis, you find that there are 10 genealogies on one side of the flood and 10 genealogies on the other side of the flood. And that's a tip-off that this isn't about sequence, it's about symmetry. There's a purpose in the genealogical construction. The same thing is true if you go to, let's say, Matthew's genealogy. Of course, Matthew was a tax collector, and so he skillfully organized the genealogy of Jesus into three groups of 14, which is just happens to be the numerical equivalent to the Hebrew letters in King David's name. So Matthew's genealogy simultaneously highlighted the most significant names in the lineage of Jesus, but more importantly, artistically emphasized our Lord's identity as Messiah who would forever sit upon the throne of David. My point here is that you don't want to read too much into the genealogies because there's a purpose behind the genealogies. In other words, the genealogies are chirological. They are communicating a purpose as opposed to, let's say, a chronology. That distinction has to be seen. So it may very well be that Matthew's purpose was to provide the legal lineage from Solomon through Joseph, whereas Luke has a different idea or purpose in mind, and that is to provide the natural lineage from Nathan through Mary. But it could also be that Matthew and Luke were both tracing Joseph's genealogy, Matthew the legal line and Luke the natural line. But you also have to remember this, this is sort of the wild card, I suppose, to put it in secular vernacular. You have to remember what Romans is telling us about this specifically. The one thing we have to know for certain is that Mary is a descendant of David. And this is what Paul points out. It's Romans chapter 1, which explicitly tells us that Jesus descended from David according to the flesh. So if you want to know about this, as you've rightly pointed out in the prologue to your question, according to the flesh, then you have a biblical explanation. The other explanations are, again, more chirological than chronological. There's a purpose in giving them because Luke is tracing the genealogy of humanity all the way back to the first man, whereas Matthew's purpose is a little different. He's not going back to the first man, Adam, but he's actually going back in time to Abraham, the legal heir of David.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. So it's more of just showing, like you said, the legal side of it.
I wouldn't be dogmatic about that only because there are a number of ways to resolve dissimilarities in the genealogies. And because there are a number of ways to resolve them, we're obviously not faced with a contradiction. But the scholars of genealogies have come up with different answers in terms of why Luke gives you one particular genealogy and Matthew gives you another. But the thing that we have to know here is just the same thing as with Jesus, that there's an ancestry for Jesus that only Jesus can fulfill. It's specific, it's rooted in the Old Testament, and therefore, if Jesus is from any other ancestry, then he can't be the Messiah that walks through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. And you had the same thing with Mary. Mary can only be the mother of God if she is really a descendant of David. And again, Paul makes that explicit in Romans chapter 1, I think it's verse 3.
All right, that makes sense. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it. And my daughter Christina, she's like my security blanket these days. She's sitting in the studio with me. And I think this is one of the cool things about Scripture. You have in Scripture a rich and multifaceted tapestry, and so often people read Scripture in a cursory fashion. Something doesn't make sense to them. And then they think, well, the Bible's got problems. On the contrary, if you study Scripture as I have, memorize, meditate, and mine the Scriptures for all they're worth, you find something beautiful every time you start digging into one of these supposed problems or contradiction. You start seeing the beauty, the eloquence, and the depth of the tapestry.
I know. Actually, my professor in Wheaton gave me this one way of reading Scripture, and he said to read a book, choose a book, and this might be something our listeners can do, choose a book and focus on that book for a month or 2 months or maybe even a year. And I did that, I think, with 1st and 2nd Kings, and it was amazing how many details you saw every time you read it, and like, oh, I didn't notice that before, or wow, that points to this and points to that. And I learned so much even just about the Bible from just reading it over and over and over again. I didn't have to necessarily take notes. I mean, I did. But that was really amazing to see. And so I really saw that for my own. And I think that's why God tells us to meditate. And like you say, like a cow chews on its cud, to not just taste, but to savor the food, to savor the Scripture. I mean, that's why Christ calls it, like, it's our food. It's something that nourishes and sustains us, and we chew on it, we meditate on it, and we find different things every time that we do that.
And there's a certain intoxication in doing that. Mm. I mean that in a sanctified sense. I've been listening to the book of Job over and over and over again. And I love the parts when God speaks, for example, out of the thunderstorm. Mm. Job is asking the why question, and God is teaching Job to trust him in the midst of his whys. And he thunders back through the storm, and he says, you don't even know how I create a tiny drop of dew, or how I give the horse its strength, or where I house the east wind, using anthropomorphisms, obviously. But God speaks now, and what you have in Job there is God speaking directly in the text, unadulterated, unfiltered. These are the words of God. And you listen to them over and over again, and as I have, not just in the last few days and weeks, but you listen to them over decades. And every time you see a new depth and a new tapestry in the text.
It's amazing. And I think part of that is something about what we're going through during the day. Each day is different, right? You're facing different problems, different struggles. And so you'll automatically see different things because your mind's focused on different things. And I think that that's also indicative of how the Holy Spirit is in the Scripture. And when you read, and it's alive and it's breathing, and when you read it, you experience new things because the Holy Spirit is showing you new things.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's beautifully said. You know, this is the last day of the month. It's the last day of our fiscal year. So I got to do a little fundraising. And oftentimes when I talk about fundraising, I think about it as friendraising, because the people that end up standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth become friends of the ministry and co-laborers in Christ. I think of Isaac, who wrote me recently and said, "Dear brother, having learned regarding CRI, I learned about CRI due to Hank's reevaluation on the local churches. I was deeply touched by Hank's honesty and faithfulness towards truth. This is the reason for my 5 stars to you and your work through the Bible Answer Man broadcast for the Lord. May the Lord bless you as a faithful servant of his holy words." And then I love this particular, I guess came in through through Facebook, but this particular comment had a picture of a whole bunch of wonderful brothers and sisters located somewhere in the eastern part, I guess, of South Korea, or at least being blended in that part of South Korea as a body. And then Nicole, she says, "I've been listening to you for over 10 years, and you have so blessed my life and taught me the importance of searching the scriptures for myself to find the truth, as well as to learn as much as I can about apologetics. Thank you for your ministry. You are a true blessing." And you know, this is one of the interesting things where Nicole uses a word, and you and I, Christina, use this word, well, it just kind of rolls off our tongue, apologetics. But for the average person, I found it over the years, they're not quite sure what that means. And apologetics to the modern ear almost sounds like an apology. But it's quite the opposite. It is giving a defense of the faith. It is always being ready to give an answer. And this core value of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is more important today than ever. Because so often within even the church community, people ask questions, they don't get satisfactory answers, and then they make an assumption. There are no satisfactory answers.
That's true. I mean, and that's what we see with even the question of suffering. We think that because... Oh, I don't know what this is doing. Sorry about that.
Your hair is hitting the microphone.
Yeah, I think I need to put it on the other side. Whoops. No, because we don't have an answer for suffering, that maybe there's not an answer.
Yeah.
But instead of... We think that, but... If we understand that God is so much more than we can fathom, and we understand that through Scripture, then we would understand so much more about how to just not know why, but to know that He's there. And through, like Joseph, he's constantly like, "God just knows better than I." Job knows that God knows better than I, even though we don't have the answers. The answers are important, but like we said, the map is not the territory, but you need a good map to get a good to a good territory, right?
That's absolutely right. And we are coming to Station Break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, plus the quote of the day. All of that coming up, so please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Moralistic therapeutic deism is colonizing Christian churches, destroying biblical Christianity from within. Yet Rod Dreher believes that by rediscovering the past, recovering liturgical worship and asceticism, centering our lives on the church community, and tightening church discipline, we will, by God's grace, again become the peculiar people we should have always been. To equip you in addressing the natural religion of a culture that worships the self and material comfort, read Rod Dreher's book, The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation. To receive your copy of The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Some might piously claim that saving our future as Christians and free people is all up to God. That's not only naive and misguided theology, it also makes a mockery of our calling to be stewards of God's creation and to be faithful in the use of the resources of time, talent, and treasure He has entrusted to us. Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher are two timely books that will equip you to stand well in our modern times. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The divide between the two major branches of Islam, Sunni and Shia, stems from the homicide of Muhammad. Many Shias contend that Muhammad's young wife Aisha committed the murder, while many Sunnis believe a Jewish woman was ultimately responsible. Despite perpetual dispute, Sunni and Shia share remarkable unanimity when it comes to the main and the plain things of Islam. Other topics include challenging the central claim of the Nation of Islam, are all religions man-made, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. As the erosion of truth and hostility against Christians continues to gain momentum, Christians must stand together for life and truth, no matter the cost. Stand together with the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to CRI, simply call 888-7000-CRI and support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. Well, let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Hey, Mark Randy, and one of my favorite parts of the show, I hope it's a favorite part of the show for you as well, is the quote of the day. And this one is by Galileo. And he's one of those people that you only require one name. You don't have to know that he's Galilee. You just need to know his first name. Like Tiger Woods, we know him as Tiger. Or Jack Nicklaus, we know him as Jack. Stephen Curry, we're starting to know him as just Steph. But the more famous you become, you're only identifiable, need to be identified by one name. And this certainly is the case with Galileo. He said this, and this is the quote of the day, and I'll tell you a little more about him. If you're not familiar with him, you should be. Galileo said this, "The Bible shows the way to go to heaven, not the way the heavens go." Now, think about that for a moment. The Bible is a grand meta-narrative of God's redemptive plan, ultimately culminating in union with God. But there's another book that God has given us, and that is the book of nature. That's why the psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they proclaim knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their words go out to the ends of the earth. Galileo was a giant in the 17th century scientific revolution. In fact, Stephen Hawking said that Galileo probably bears more responsibility for the birth of modern science than anybody else. Einstein had a similar opinion. He called Galileo the father of modern science. And obviously he made many contributions to physics, to astronomy, to cosmology, mathematics, philosophy. So this is a giant we should know about. And again, the quote of the day, the Bible shows the way to go to heaven, not the way the heavens go. If you want to know how everything works, you got to do good science just as you do good scriptural analysis. And again, the quote of the day is brought to you by those who support the ministry and stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. And there are a lot of people that call in these testimonies and probably don't imagine that I read them. I do read them, and they're a great encouragement to me.
Yeah, it's always encouraging to have your thank you notes or your encouraging notes read and know that they are read and cherished. So Chandra Baker says, Hank is amazing. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with him. I'm glad that he's here too. Fred Whitney says, Hank, you've been there as long as I can remember in my 40 plus years of my walk with the Lord. I'll be with you in prayer daily, brother. Mm-hmm. I pray that God surprises you with his grace and mercy today.
Wow.
Then we have Michael Hutchinson, who says, hello, Hank, in all caps. This is all in all caps, so he must be very excited. You're doing well because you have Jesus in your life. That's all that counts. Take care.
Wow. That's a short sentence, but it's powerful. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely true. I believe that I am doing well. I think I mentioned yesterday's show, my doctor just could not believe. Every time she asked me, how are you feeling? I said, I'm feeling great. And well, she said, well, the next chemo, you probably won't be feeling great. Well, we'll see what happens. But I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord, and I'm certain that I'm buoyed by the prayers of God's people that are coming in from all over the world, and I'm deeply grateful. Let's take another call. Ron in Winter Springs, Florida. Hi, Ron.
How's it going?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
I'd like to get your opinion on a story called The Practice of the Presence of God, which is a story about a 16th century monk by the name of Brother Lawrence.
Yeah, he was a lay monk within the Carmelite monastery in Paris, France. And I guess a great example to all of us. when I was chrismated, I got the name John. So you take on the name of a patron saint, and this is John Climacus, which means John Climacus, meaning of the ladder, John of the ladder. And a lot of people wonder, John, I think you'd be John the theologian, wouldn't you rather, isn't that your patron saint? No, the reason I love this is a monk writing to monks, but the ascetic life and the lessons learned within the context of the ascetic life are quite extraordinary. And I think that Brother Lawrence is no exception. He lived in relentless, vigilant pursuit of the Lord Jesus through an inner path of devotion centered on holiness through the common practices of everyday life. You know, what I would call ordering your life around the divine. And one of his characteristics is speaking and writing with simplicity and humble grace. And I suppose that's something that we could all emulate and something that certainly Brother Lawrence personified.
Yeah, it's a great story. I would like to use that story as a template for my own life.
Absolutely. He said that the common business, no matter how mundane, is the medium of God's love. And in some sense, we see that because as we go about our daily lives, we're witnesses. We're witnesses through the testimony of our life and through our love, as well as through our lips. In other words, if necessary, we might need to say something, but our life and our love ought to testify, ought to point somewhere beyond ourselves. And I think that was the case in his life. We are to do our common business wholly for the love of God, and that translates automatically to the first and second commandment, right? We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and then love our neighbor as ourselves. But you can't love your neighbor without first loving God.
I remember, I think a really cool story that goes along with this is there is a missionary that went to a country and he wasn't very good at languages. He spent 10 years there and felt like he had done nothing. And so he comes back thinking he's a failed missionary. And another guy goes, really good at languages, gets the language down and preaches his gospel. He's done and everyone stands up. They say, we believe what you're saying. He's like, okay, let's do this again. So he preaches it again. And the chief elder stood up and he's like, we know your God. We know Jesus. He's been walking with us for 10 years. Or the guy that has that follows him, he resembles Jesus to the point that they were like, oh my gosh, who is this person? And he didn't speak their language. And I think that just testifies to the power of our walk. People, you can talk the talk, but if you don't walk it, people aren't going to take you seriously. And I think that's what you were talking about with the church before. We want to make the church palatable. We want to make God palatable, but we're supposed to be salt and light. We're supposed to be different. And God is something that it's something hard at first to understand God, but then once you begin to understand him, it's like coffee. It's bitter at first, but then once you start to take it a lot, you start really tasting the coffee and really understanding, like our brothers. My brothers are obsessed with coffee and they understand the different types of coffee and the taste that comes with coffee. And you understand as you satiate on God and God's word, the different aspects of God and how he speaks to us. So I think that we really need to live that out. It's like we were talking about with Esther in our 4:14 moments. Like, who knows that you have come for such a time as this? At the grocery store, when you're at a stoplight and you smile at someone. There are times where people have told me that they love my smile, or people have told me that I was beautiful in a moment where I felt like I was the ugliest person in the world. And those are then the moments that I know that God is real because he's speaking to me through other people.
You know, what's wonderful about that too, and I mean, having a large family, I was thinking as you were speaking that you probably wouldn't be sitting in the studio with me today if I was a different person at home behind the scenes than I am publicly with a microphone on my head. In other words, if there's a dichotomy between a personal, someone personally and their activities at home and then what they are in public, what that does, that disjuncture says to you, you know what? I don't trust this whole Christian thing, because if my dad really believed this, he'd be the same at home as he is in public. And I think that's an example in many ways of how we need to live our lives in the public moments in the same way that we live our lives in the private moments, because ultimately what we're doing in terms of example is for an audience of one, which is to say, just as Brother Lawrence said, we are to do our common business wholly for the love of God.
Mm-hmm. It's like the tax collector and the Pharisee, the person that was praying, that story where you know, the tax collector is saying that he's horrible and like, God, please forgive me. And
God
then,
have mercy on me, a
God
sinner.
God has mercy on me, a sinner. And then the guy's just like, oh, look at me. I'm so great. And God's like, what are you that with all this pomp and ceremony? Like when, Jesus instructs us to, when we pray, to go behind closed doors and to speak to our Heavenly Father in secret where people don't see us. Because it's not about, like, uplifting ourselves. It's about uplifting God and His kingdom.
And if it's uplifting yourself, then you get all the reward you're going to get,
yeah.
Which is not a whole lot. Mm-hmm. But if it is uplifting the Lord, then the reward becomes an eternal reward.
Amen.
We are almost out of time for the entire month. It's the end of our fiscal year. I've got about a minute left, and... please indulge me for a moment as once again I urge those listening in who have never taken the step to support this ministry to do so, not because we have wonderful resources available for you when you support the ministry, but simply because you want to be a change agent, a cultural change agent. You want to be an initiator, not a cultural imitator. So please stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. We pray that your resources will be transformed into changed lives, not only changed lives now, but obviously the ultimate goal, changed lives for all eternity. And so at the end of the month, it would be only right that I thank those that are already standing with us, shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for allowing me to do what I do, and for allowing the Christian Research Institute to do what the Christian Research Institute does around the world. So long for now. See you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. Given all that's at stake, we're asking all of our friends to stand with CRI this month with their prayers and generous financial support. To make a genuine difference in our fight for life and truth, and to receive your copy of The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. We are witnessing the advent of a post-truth culture wherein social headwinds against common sense and basic decency and civility are ferocious. The fact is, we as Western Christians are in the fight of our lives, and for now, we are losing on multiple fronts. That is why we want to put into the hands of thinking Christians everywhere two very timely books, Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher. These resources will equip you to do your part in turning the tide. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.